I'm a bit of a fluster this morning. Anybody else in a bit of a fluster? Oh, that's good. Only 20% of the congregation are flustered or honest. There's things to be done and this, that, the other, and everything else. And I get a bit flustered and I think, hold on a moment, it's not a problem, is it? Because we can now stop and take a deep breath. And we've made it here, or if you're listening online, you've got it. You've got the computer buttons right, and you've managed to click on it, and it's there, and you're listening. So, at this point, we can take a deep breath. Let's pray. Lord, this day is about you. And you choose to make this day about us. You've planned this day. You've planned for us being here, listening, or seated here. Our times are in your hands. This day is a gift. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And thank you, Lord, that you are sparing us from rushing around. Thank you that you are sparing us from everything having to be perfect and ordered and organized to the nth degree. Thank you, we can come just as we are and relax and rest in your presence because of Jesus and the grace that you pour upon us. May we know your love today. May we hear your voice. May be changed and transformed by your love. Amen. It's good to be in a place of grace, isn't it? Absolutely wonderful. Couple of things. There are a few notices today, and things are going on, which is good. Friday we have a funeral here, which is for Sheila Archer, and she left very precise instructions as to the poems, the hymns, the Bible reading, and she said, "No gloomy clothes." I want there to be an atmosphere of praise and thanks to God who has led me through good times and bad. If you don't know Sheila and you're free Friday afternoon, come. Because you'll be blessed as you hear from her words, her hymns and poems she's chosen. And you'll be honouring somebody who's gone to glory. So come if you can, 2:30 Friday afternoon. And the following day, we have a wedding. And Bridget is marrying Mike Webb. Anne was a member with her husband here for a long time. And both Mike and Anne's spouses have died. And they have come together and they're getting married. And that's at Barton Baptist Church on Saturday. And they foolishly asked me to preach. And so watch out. It's going to be great fun. But it's a great occasion. So again, do pray for Mike and Anne. And if you're free to go, do go. Couple more things. Ah, yes. Tony and Shirley are not here. Because Shirley has had a hip replacement. And we so miss her bubble and her worship. Tony's have a wonderful sense of humour. And they're servant hearts. And you may not know, but normally, after communion, they're out there for a little while, doing all the washing up. So they're not here. So we really need somebody to wash up the glasses. If you think, yes, I could do that, if there's four people doing it, great. But it'd be really good after the service. Won't take long if you can do that. Andrew has kindly stepped in today to set up, because Janine is in hospital. So we're all over the place. But you think, yes, I could wash up the glasses, that would be great. Tonight, we have our first Sunday in the month evening service, time to worship and to hear God's word. And we're going to be thinking about God speaking to us and through us. And we'll be listening and doing it. And it's going to be great. So again, come. I mean, all these things are great. It's good, isn't it? So come if you can. I know it's dark, but it's getting warmer now. Get a lift from somebody. And do come if you can. It'll be a precious time. 6:30. Standard church time, 6:30. And to make it easy. So 6:30 tonight. And lastly, and we'll be coming a bit of, we'll be coming back to this a bit later in the service. We've said, you've seen it on the PowerPoint, we said at the church meeting, there are ministries required for the church to grow and develop in terms of administration, which means to send ministry. There are various jobs that need doing, and there are various opportunities for worship, for witness, for discipleship, and so on. And I heard something on the news today, which is very interesting. You may have heard the 80-20 rule that applies in lots of areas of life, and people often apply to church that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Now, that is the worldly default. But that's not the picture of the body in the church, is it? Every member playing their part. So as I'm looking around to you today, each of you has a part to play in the kingdom of God and in the life of this church. Even if it's visiting, you're blessing us by being here. Welcome to our visitors. So as we go through the service, think and pray. What are you saying to me, Lord? What am I to do? We've got a deacon's meeting tomorrow. We've only got a couple of names on some of the things. We need us to do it because there's nobody else. So pray today through the service, and there's two sets of sign-up forms, one in the vestibule, one in the CrossLink Centre. And don't be shy. Don't be shy. God wants to use you. Right. Today, we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, when we come to our reading a message later on, which Sheila's going to be bringing to us. And there was one verse that stood out, as I thought that we'll have as our introduction to worship. And it's on our website as Thought for the Week. So it's on there. The website's working, which is great. Thanks to all those who do that. For the kingdom is not a matter of talk, but of power. I've already talked a lot this morning. Let's pray for God's power as we worship. Lord, as we gather together, send your Holy Spirit upon us that we may have power to worship, power to hear and understand, power to do the things you are calling us to do. We start our worship with a song, Who Breaks the Power of Sin and Darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of Glory, the King above all kings. Feel free to sit or to stand. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of Glory, the King of Bubbles, King. Who shakes a whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of Glory, the King of Bubbles, King. This is amazing grace. It's unveiling love that you would take my place, that you would bear my Son, how much more will you give us? Everything else. We are in a place of grace. And whatever you're feeling this morning, and maybe what you're conscious of you've done wrong, or you've not done what you should have done, if there's anything that's separating you from God or from somebody else, know that this is a place of grace. And that we receive forgiveness as soon as we ask in the name of Jesus. Your grace is enough, more than I need. Your grace is enough, more than I need, and your word I will believe. I wait for you,
draw near again, let your spirit make me new,
and I will
fall at your feet, I will fall at your feet, and I will.
just want to thank you that your grace is enough. It's enough for me yesterday, it will be enough for me today, it will be enough for me today.
Therefore, in view of God's mercy, present your bodies as living sacrifices. Thank you, Jesus, that you have made us holy sacrifices by your blood. That we are not just acceptable, but we are a delight, a pleasant aroma to you as we sing in our hearts. Whatever our voices are like, it's our hearts that you want to hear. And we give you praise and glory. Amen. Please be seated. We'll take up our offering now. Another way of expressing love for the Lord. Thank you for every good gift that we have received. And we give you these gifts as a sign of our love for you and our desire that others will know your love and your peace, will receive your grace. Multiply them, we pray. Send them out to achieve all that you have purposed for them. Amen. Amen. Hayley Dyer, if you'd like to come and join me. Do you have a seat? On the night that Jesus instituted, started this meal that is set before us, he said to his disciples, I'm going to do something that shows the full extent of my love for you. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And it was to wash the disciples' feet. The story is in John, and there's no mention of this meal in John's Gospel. He focuses on the act that Jesus did in preparation for this meal, which was to wash their feet. When he'd finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. We follow Jesus' example. We wash one another's feet. We care for one another. We serve one another. And that's the context to this meal. Sheila's going to be bringing us God's word, and I'm going to be sharing a couple of things for us to pray about, which will build on that. But this is a place where we come as fellow servants, as well as children of God. Everyone who wants to say thank you to Jesus for what he did on the cross is welcome to join in this meal. However old, if the children know what they're doing in saying thank you to Jesus, they're welcome to partake the same as adults. If you're not there yet, if that's not your belief or understanding at the moment, then when the bread and the wine comes round, just pass it by. Something we're doing different today is that I'm going to break up this roll here to celebrate the meal, and that's a gluten-free roll. I'm going to bring that and some of the wine here, which is all non-alcoholic. I'm going to bring that to people who need the gluten-free bread. And I know Diane's one here. And if anybody else, I would like to indicate Celia on one at the back. Okay, so if anybody else, just let me know. But we want to make sure everybody is included in the whole of this meal. So, come to this table. Not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and you want to love him more. Come because he loved you and he gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Let's pray. Almighty God, to you all of our hearts are open. You know all our desires. No secrets can be hidden from you. So we pray, clean the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Paul wasn't at that meal that night, but Jesus told him what he'd done, and he passes it on to us. The Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body. That is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I've asked Diane if she would pray for us today to give thanks for this meal.
Let us pray. Wonderful God, creator of everything, from the vastness of space to the beauty of a daisy, thank you for choosing to love us. Lord Jesus, beautiful, holy, and true living Word of God, thank you for willingly coming to earth to be wise yet vulnerable, aware yet forgiving, powerful yet sacrificially weak. Thank you for rising from the dead as the key of David and opening the door for us to enjoy your eternal companionship now and forever. Thank you, Spirit of the living God, that in humility and love you inspire and transform us. Thank you for your willingness to travel through life with us. Thank you, gracious God, that we can, in unity, through your love, participate in this special meal today. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. Haley and Diane will bring the cups round with bread on the top. Do eat that bread. When you receive it, hold on to the cups and we'll drink those together as a sign of our unity. Loving Father of all of us, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and you brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you set before us, so we and all your children shall be free. And the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Helen and Diane. Hi, Zeb. Hi, Noah. I've got an activity for you now, if you want to do it. It's up to you. I'm going to bring it down here, because you're over there, so there, whatever. I've got our normal packs, I've got some scissors, and underneath you've also got a big box of stuff. What I thought we would do today, if you'd like to, you could either draw something or cut out something. I thought about serving. We thought about serving one for Jesus washing our feet. And I thought you might want to do a picture or cut out some things about serving. When we were here last time with the toddler cafe cups and saucers, we had a whole banquet laid out on this rug. So I'd like you just to have fun drawing, cutting out the scissors in there, making something for other people, right? Making a feast, making it, because this is to remind us, just like Haley and Diane were serving us, we're here to serve one another. Okay, so over to you. Have fun. And now, Sheila and Jilly. So my brain's gone a bit addled today. If you'd like to come up. For those who don't know, this is Jilly, married to Rod. Jilly's going to do our reading for us in a moment. And this beautiful woman, yes, this beautiful woman is going to expand God's word for us in a moment. So let's pray for these two. Lord, we thank you that you speak to us through your word, by your Holy Spirit. And I pray you bless Jilly as she reads your word to us, and Sheila as she expands your word, that your Holy Spirit would come upon them both, that we might be transformed by your word, that we might receive faith through your word. Amen.
Today's reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and can be found on page 1146 in the Pew Bibles. Shared Bibles, I should say. It's old-fashioned now. This, then, is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in the darkness, and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Now, brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us over against the other. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. You have begun to reign, and that without us. How I wish that you really had begun to reign so that we might also reign with you. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession like those condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to human beings. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honoured, we are dishonoured. To this very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment. I am writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my, not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore I urge you to imitate me. For this reason I have sent you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Some of you have become arrogant as if I was not coming to you, but I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out not only how those arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with the rod of discipline? Or shall I come to you with love and a gentle spirit? May God add his blessing to his word.
Thank you very much. God's word is very precious. Never take it for granted. I'm going to say that again. God's word is very precious. Never take it for granted. You just excuse me while I just move this side, because I don't like to look into that. I like to look at you instead. Okay, not an easy subject this morning in some ways, but leaders are servants. Now, I'm not going to ask you how many leaders you know and how many leaders you thought, well, they're all right, they're not bad, they're sort of quite good. You know, I'm sure if I was to ask you, you would have various views. But remember, in Corinthians it says, leaders are servants. So what is a leader? The dictionary says this: a person who rules, guides, or inspires others. The first one is rules. You can have a leader who says, you will do this, you will do that, and you'll do it the way I want you to do it. And bosses at work sometimes can be like that. But us as Christians, we have to respond in a different way. It's very difficult, you know. Because if a boss says to you, I want you to do that way, and you may know by doing the job, there's an easier way to do it. It's not easy, is it? But what is a leader? Rules, guides, or inspires? Paul highlights the holiness and unity that all Christians share. What's your reaction to that comment? Well, they're not holy. Just look what they've just said. It's a challenge. The word of God is always a challenge. Always. But the unity that Christians share, not by their own efforts, but through belonging to Jesus Christ. That's the important thing this morning. If you don't remember anything else, remember that you need to know that you are a child of the living God because you've come to the cross and confessed your sins and repented and asked him to come into your life. Amen. I could go home now because that's the message. But you know what I'm saying, you know? So, not by their own efforts, but through belonging to Jesus Christ. Paul here thanks God for their exciting progress and spiritual gifts. Oh, you're doing so well, Paul's saying. It's nice when somebody says to you, you're doing really well, keep going. We need to hear that sometimes, yes. Keep going, always encourage. But there's a but. We don't like the buts, do we? Paul has heard that there are quarrels and splits in the church at Corinth. The believers are naming themselves after favourite leaders. Many years ago, and it was many years ago, one lady said to me, well, I follow so-and-so evangelist, and I don't listen to any other speakers at all. I won't go anywhere else. I'm just listening to him. Makes her very narrow. Very narrow. The believers are naming themselves after their favourite leaders. Whatever views you may have on your leaders, not just the church, but the things that happen within the church, they are still leaders. But the Corinthians want their church leaders to be impressive. Now, I was at a church many years ago, and the pastor was a lovely guy, and he'd always come with bright blazers on. And he'd come up to the platform. And when I first went there, I thought, oh my goodness. Bright red and pinks. And, you know, that was his personality. My first reaction was, oh my goodness, in church with something like that on. You know, I have to say that was my first reaction. I praised the Lord that it didn't stay there. It improved. And he was a lovely brother and he's now gone to be with the Lord. But the Corinthians wanted their leaders to be impressive. Peter has a big personality, and Apollos is a brilliant speaker. Now, I've got nothing against brilliant speakers. I love it when somebody is passionate and just go for it. I love it. But Paul disappoints them. He's a small man with poor health and a stammer. Now, I can share with you this morning that I had a stammer very badly when I was a child. But what the Lord showed me, and I didn't realise it was the Lord, but what the Lord showed me, because I gave my life to the Lord Jesus when I was 12, and I still stammered terribly. And you know what school's like? Kids laughing at you. And people weren't as conscious now as they are of being caring and loving and so on. But I decided I needed to do something about it. And the only thing I could do was to whistle. Every time I stammered, I whistled and it stopped me stammering. And it was the S's, and I've just said two S's that could be quite difficult. But, you know, I do believe that God put that into my mind because that helped me to get through that. But I also know that God had got a purpose for my life, even at a very early age, and a stammer wouldn't have helped me. God knows you. He knows you right through. But Paul tells the Corinthians that they are looking for the wrong things in their leaders. What do you look for in your leaders? And he also says in themselves, they're looking for the wrong thing. The message of Jesus is that God takes foolish, humble, weak people and gives them the wisdom and power of Christ. If you're open to it. Jesus didn't look very powerful or sound very eloquent when he hung on the cross. It was awful. I don't need to tell you, you can have your own picture in your mind. It was awful. Jews saw his death as a scandal. No Messiah would ever let that happen to him. The Greeks saw his death as ridiculous. Not at all godlike. What do we think about Jesus on the cross? What does the world think? Now let's go back to the theme. Leaders are servants. Paul says the death of Jesus was the wisest and most powerful thing that God has ever done. Amen. And if we're looking for something to boast about, then let's boast that Jesus died for us. I was saved when I was 12, but I didn't have the courage to tell anybody until a Sunday school teacher challenged me one day. And I'd be about 15 then. And she said, "Sheila, are you saved?" I said, "Of course I am." I was so indignant. But I hadn't said anything. It wasn't her fault. Share that you know Jesus as your saviour. Paul records that when he was with the Corinthians, he could only teach them very simple truths, like giving a baby milk. He says that they are still childish in the way they squabble over their leaders. I'm not going to ask you, and I don't want to know, but I've had experiences of churches being split because leaders could not agree. And it hurts Father God, and it hurts us who may be in that position and have gone through it. It's very painful. But, the Lord will help you to get over that. As long as you don't hold on tightly to it. Let it go. Bring it to the cross. And you'll be free. It's very, very difficult sometimes in church relationships. We want to say, "Well, I know best. And you're going to do it my way." Now, Auntie Sheila, when she did Sunday school, that's me, by the way, for those of you that don't know. Lots of children know me as that for many years. Auntie Sheila always liked things done, you know, carefully and properly and so on. And one little boy, he was amazing. He'd got blonde hair, blue eyes, and he could, you know, he was lovely, but he was a challenge. And one Sunday school morning, we were all gathered in a school. We were having a church in school in those days. And I asked him to do something. And he looked at me and he stood up as highest as he could. And he said, "I suppose I've got to do it, Auntie Sheila, because you're the boss." Yeah. Well, I was at that point in one sense. But I love those kids. They could see the discipline, but they could see the love. Bring your kids up with discipline, but bring them up with love as well. You've got to have both together. Both together. Love them. Love them. And children know, if you're not true to what you say, they can soon pull you up. Definitely pull you up. They're not concerned. If they can see that what you're saying, "Well, I don't think that goes with what you're doing." That's a challenge to us, isn't it? Well, I find it is anyway. You know, and you know, I mean, children, I had a stiff neck one Sunday morning going to Sunday school, and I was teaching that day, believe it or not, on healing. And I woke up with a stiff neck. And as children were all gathered there, you know, and I wasn't going to say anything to them at all. And one little boy said, "You've got a stiff neck, Auntie Sheila." And I thought, "Oh, for goodness sake." And I said, "Yes." And I was just going to let it go and just carry on with the lessons, you know. And the little boy said, "We could pray for you, Auntie Sheila." My first reaction was, "Oh my goodness, what happens if it's not answered?" And that was my first reaction, I have to say. But then the Lord said to me, "It's not up to you." You know, and said it in such a way that was, you know, so right for me. And so I says, "Okay," to this little boy. And I said, "Yeah, you can come up and pray for me." So I just sat down on the floor. I can't get down there now, but I was able to get down there. And I sat down on the floor, and suddenly I could hear a lot of kerfuffle going on. You know, noise, children moving. And I opened one eye, like that, And they were all coming to the front. They were all coming to the front. And as I sat there, I kept saying to the Lord, what happens if it doesn't work? And I still kept saying, what happens if it doesn't work? And the Lord just kept saying to me very gently, very nicely, that's not your responsibility. You just obey what I've asked you to do, and they will pray for you. And they did. They came up, and they were doing this, you know. They were used to doing it. Amen. One little boy prayed, make Auntie Sheila's stiff neck move, please. Amen. And that was it. Well, it's true, isn't it? It's enough. It's enough. And so I sort of stood up and thought, yes, that's okay. And then I just carried on with the lesson. And I hadn't realised that God had done the healing, but that little boy did, because he was watching me. So as I was getting excited in the story, my head was going all over the place. And this little boy put his hand up. I said, yes. He said, he's done it. He's done it. He said, your neck, Auntie Sheila, your neck. And, you know, that little boy had that faith to believe. I didn't, I have to say. I didn't in those days. But I was a leader. But I was willing for those children to come up and pray for me. I was a servant to them. I loved them. And I loved what I was doing. But I was still a servant. So, Paul says the death of Jesus was the most wonderful thing. And if we're looking for something to boast about, then let's boast Jesus died for us. Can anybody tell me when this church was built? 1886. Now, I wasn't around then.
No.
I knew you'd laugh on that one. I wasn't around then. But yesterday, I went to the co-op to get some milk, for those of you that know where it is, and I passed Palace Theatre. And there was a dad and a little boy, a little girl, sorry, a dad and a little girl. And there's a plaque outside there that shows people of many years ago. And the little girl was saying, well, who are they? And Daddy said, well, those are the people that were here years and years and years ago, and that helped to build. And she says, they built that for us. And Dad said, yes. Weren't they good? Your children sometimes can see what we can't see. Jesus died for you. The Word of God said, whosoever will may come. He doesn't force you to come. Whosoever will may come. And as I walked past that dad and that little girl, it really blessed me. And I said, yeah, I wonder who they were. I would love to have known their lives and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, when you meet somebody that comes into church, you don't know what's been going on in their minds for many years, where they've come from. Encourage them, welcome them, all these things. I'm going out on a tangent here. But the Corinthians here are full of their newfound wealth and wisdom. Yeah, this is great, fantastic. Are you like that? Yeah, God's blessing me. There's nothing wrong in saying that. But what's your life like? What's your life like? When people don't see you, what's your standing in Christ? Think about that sometimes. It's a challenge. But these Corinthians have got newfound wealth and wisdom, and they share the riches and reign of Christ. But Paul believes they misunderstand the Christian life. Far from ruling the world, Paul feels like a prisoner being dragged along at the end of the victory procession. For him to be a Christian is to share public rejection and sufferings of Jesus. We love it when There's joy and there's peace and there's all this great stuff. But there's another side of the coin to following Jesus. There can be persecution from your families. There can be persecution from your workplace. Are you able to stand up for Jesus in your workplace, in your home? Are you able to stand up? When I was first saved, I worked on the land, and I used to wear leather jackets and boots and all that sort of stuff. And I had a little pocket in this leather jacket, just there. And I always carried tracks, as we used to call them years ago. And because I was too shy to say that I loved Jesus, I just used to give them a tract. And I used to think, well, yeah, that's okay, that's enough. And I have to say, it did work, not because I did it, but Christ was in it. For me at that time, that was as much as I could do. But please witness. But Paul says he's not the cream. He was the leader. He was building the church. But he isn't the cream, he's the scum. Oh, don't call me scum, Sheila. I don't like that. And the Corinthians should follow him because he's their spiritual father. Many years ago, and it must be about 20, 30 years ago, I was saddened because there weren't many spiritual fathers within the church. And we are still short of what I call spiritual fathers. It's sad. It's sad. Paul says we should follow Jesus. We should follow Jesus. Well, you might say, well, I ought to follow the leader because he's the boss. Stephen would be the first person to say to me, Sheila, you need to follow Jesus. Following Jesus is the best thing to do. Have you been saved a long time? Don't answer that. Some of us have. Are you still following and have the enthusiasm and still growing? Are you growing? So what can we learn? Do not worship leaders, only Jesus Christ. Only boast that Jesus died for your sins. Don't boast, well, look, I'm good, I can do that, I'm better than you at that. Be careful, the devil's around. You can so easily trip into these things. Don't make judgments too soon, like I did with that dear pastor in Kenilworth when I first went. Really fantastic jackets. I must say that now because I like jackets. But he used to wear fantastic... And my first reaction was, a minister wearing something like that? Woo! I have to say, thank you, Jesus. My attitudes have changed because of Jesus. Do not make judgments too soon. Be careful what you say. This is not a scripture, but I always found it very helpful. Engage brain before opening mouth. Engage brain before opening mouth. That's hard to do sometimes because we react. Don't react. Give time for what that person's saying to you, to think it through, to pray it through. Then give your answer. Give thanks, Paul says. Highlights the holiness and the unity that Christians share, not by our own efforts, which I said earlier on, but through belonging to Jesus Christ. Each person that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour are precious. Whatever other things they may do that you don't necessarily agree with, they're still precious in God's eyes, and they should be in ours. Are we adding to the church of Jesus Christ? Now, in 1886, as I asked you earlier, this church was built. But before then, it was where the garage is. and it was just a building, very small, and a group of people met. But they heard the word of God to build a church, the building. Yes, it's fantastic. But Jesus wants you to build his church with people. Men, women, boys, girls, whoever. Because the word of God said, whosoever will may come. We need to be building the church. Are we adding to the church of Jesus Christ? Are we building or knocking it down? Do we look at another church and say, huh, who do they think they are? We're better than them. We have more worship songs than they do. We have more giftings than they do. Be careful what you say. How can I build? How can I do it? Little me. For those of us who are of a certain age and can't run around and jump up and down and so on, we can help to build God's church here by prayer. Prayer is powerful. It is. Because God's ear is ever attentive to your prayers. Ever attentive to your prayers. So are you building or knocking down? Don't criticize. You can have a viewpoint, but don't criticize. Because it will come back onto you. Don't criticize. Bless, encourage. Are you building or knocking down? Now, the brothers and sisters in 1886 knocked down what they got over there and built this. I wonder what they'd be thinking now. They're up in heaven with the Lord. Wonder what? How can you build? Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. We've got lists all over the place. And I'm not a list person. But we've got lists all over the place. But you need to say, Lord Jesus, what do you want me to do? Get your life in order. Talk to the Lord. Read the word of God. Then you can serve. That sounds a bit tough. Then you can serve. So many things to be done in the church, and it always has been that way. But what God calls us as a church to do, he always enables the church to do it. And it's your responsibility to be listening to the Lord for yourself. Don't leave it to leaders necessarily. Listen yourself. Ask God, what do you want me to do? And I'm not going through any things that you can do. You know what they are. How can you build? Ask the Holy Spirit. Pray. Be willing to try. And that's the hardest thing. I've never done that. How can I do that? A wonderful Christian lady, when I was I helped to run holiday clubs, but I was never the speaker with the children. I always got guys who were evangelists to come in and do it, you see. And a few years passed, and that went very well. But this particular year, I couldn't get anybody. And it was really hard. I thought, Lord, what are you doing? What's going on? And this one particular lady, who was a Sunday school teacher, when I was talking to her about it, I said, I can't seem to settle. And she just looked at me and she said, well, why don't you do it? No, I couldn't possibly. Well, you do it all the time. You do it every Sunday. What's the difference in doing a holiday club to doing a Sunday school? And when I thought about it, I thought, yeah. God will enable you to do what he's called you to do. Don't be fearful. Step out. It's that first step. And do it. And when you know that that's the right step. Now, sometimes we may think, well, I think that's it. And we step out and then we go, no, I don't think so. Don't give up too quickly. Try again. But then if you think, no, that's okay. We are free to fail. We are free to fail. Jesus doesn't look down and say, huh, well, you started out, you weren't listening to me, were you? God's not like that. Sometimes we do get things wrong. And God's saying, try again. Try something else. It's the trying. Be willing to try. Someone might encourage you. And they might say, you're just right for that job. Oh, well, yeah, you might think so, but it's me that's got to do it. Listen to people who encourage you. Yes, you've got to hear the Lord as well. But listen to people who encourage you. Or it might be a scripture, or it might be just knowing. And knowing this is the way, walk in it. That's lovely when God gives you that. I know that I know. And when I came down here, not knowing anybody at all, I knew that I knew it, but I didn't understand it. I'd left the town I'd been in since I was almost born. I'd been in a church I'd been in a long time. And then God was just saying, come on. What? Leave all my friends, leave my church, leave everything. Job, everything. You must be wrong, God. You won't want me to do that. I'm a responsible person. I've got to earn my living. But God said, no, I want you to go down to Devon. And I praise God that I was obedient. Because he blessed me so much when I came down and increased the ministry of children. And you've got to listen. In all that you do, remember it is in Jesus Christ's name that we do it. Not because, well, I think I'd like that. Yeah, you've got to like it. You've got to enjoy it. I used to say to Sunday school teachers, what does your gut feeling tell you? Do you want to be doing it? Yeah, no, go for it. Go for it. Not do it because it needs to be done. It doesn't work. But we do it by his wonderful love and grace. He brings the blessing. Not you. The Lord Jesus Christ brings the blessing on whatever ministry he gives you, no matter how small you may think it is or how big it is. God brings the blessing. And whatever ministry, it's wonderful to see men, women and boys and girls coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what we're here for. Or to see a new Christian tentatively praying out loud. Tentatively reading the Word of God up here. It's hard if you've never done it before. But you can do it. If God is telling you to do something, do it. Please. Because there's great blessing in obedience. Obedience is the very best thing that you can do. Obedience is the best thing that you can do. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sheila. Thank you for getting carried away. We need people to get carried away. What we're going to do is we're going to pray. We're going to have a look at what the children have been doing. And then we'll sing one more song. Let's pray. And I encourage you as we pray to pray firstly for the person on your right. If you haven't got somebody on your right, pray for someone in front of you or behind you. And then we're going to pray for someone on our left. We're just going to pray blessing upon them. That they will hear God's call to them. And yes, we have need for people to respond to emails, to phone calls, for people to handle the bookings here, people to do various jobs, people to work with our children, to serve coffee, to release others who are wanting to serve with the children, but we need people to serve coffee. Lord, there's so many different needs around, but right now, Lord, we want to pray for one another, that we will hear you and obey you. So, Lord, we pray for those on our right. Bless them, Lord. Give them confidence. Give them that sense they are free to get things wrong. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, that they may do everything out of love for you and in your power. We pray for those on our left. Lord, you know them. You see what they can't do, but you are much more interested in what they can do. You love them. You know them. You understand them. You're delighted in who they are. And you have planned good works for them to walk in. Lord, may we as your church be a living body of Christ with every member doing its work. Amen. Right, children, what you've been doing, and then we're going to sing just our last song, which will go to the sister, be our last song. Can I have a look and see what you've been doing? So what have we got? Oh, wow. To the glory of God and in gratitude for these, we also loved. Food is served. To the glory of God and in gratitude for those we've also loved, food is served. Thank you. That's wonderful. Brilliant. Thank you. Have a look. This is a picture of the church. And it's got so many people in it, they can't fit it all in on the bottom. They've got to go up the side of the page. Fantastic. 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 We need to hear what God speaks to the children, and that's all ages. Thank you so much for bringing Ronna and Seb and Matthew with us. We're going to sing a song, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. And it's a beautiful song. And don't be shy of, you know, looking to each other, brothers and sisters, as we sing this song. Because it is very much a song we're singing to one another. Thank you, Leslie.
Christ to you, pray that I may have the
Fill us up with your Holy Spirit. Send us out to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen.
Amen.